opportunity. We enjoy praying for each other when the chance is given. So that's what we're together for, to care for one another, to lift each other up, to celebrate. I ask you when you come forward here, if you can walk together and run together, laugh together and cry together. And this is part of it, you know. And so we lift you up, and we're thankful that God is listening to our prayers. You know, though, we are here to celebrate Christ, aren't we? And we are in this time of suffering that is coming upon our Lord and Savior. Have you ever stopped to wonder why he suffered the way he did? Because the answer is very simple. He suffered because he loved us. He loved those that were inflicting the pain. He loved us who are still responsible for the pain. He gave himself because he loved us. And before he went to the cross, make no mistake, Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord so that I can take it up again. Like none other before him or since has ever done." And it was not unexpected that the Savior, the Messiah, would have to give his life. People didn't understand it then. They didn't understand the prophecies of it. They didn't understand that the Messiah was going to come and endure the things. Though, I don't know why. It's in the Scripture for us to see. But even today, when we talk about the rapture and the millennial kingdom and the second coming of Christ, we have just glimpses of what God has shown us, but full understanding will come at a later date. And people in the Old Testament times, they were reading the Old Testament, they knew a Messiah was coming, but they had different expectations of him. I am thankful today that we can see exactly who the Christ is and why he came. He came because he loved us. And I want to share with you this morning from Psalm 22. If you'll turn with me there, Psalm 22. A beautiful psalm that is written really in two parts that tells us so much about our suffering Savior. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1, and I do ask that you stand with me in honor of God's Word. Psalm 22, beginning in verse number 1. It is a psalm of David. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent, but you are holy. Enthroned in the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip and they shake their head saying, 'He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.' But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me to trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. And many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion, and I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me, and my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I count all of my bones, and they look and they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O, my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. Father, I thank you for this day and for your blessings of grace and mercy, forgiveness of sins. I thank you for love and peace and joy that we have in you. I thank you that you allowed us to see you through your words. And I thank you, Father, that by seeing you in your words, you have made us yours in spirit, so that we shall see you one day in your glory and celebrate the love that you have shared for us. Father, strengthen us until you call us home. Strengthen us in this world that still despises you and hates you. Strengthen us as a voice of reason. Strengthen us as your people together. And help us to honor you as you have honored us. And we ask it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. I can't help but think how horrible it must have been as the Holy Spirit was pouring through the pen of David. And you know these very words that he begins with, my God, why have you forsaken me? The first words spoken from Christ on the cross. And people say they can't see Jesus, the Messiah, in this psalm today. They will tell you that Psalm 22 does not represent a prophecy of Christ. But I tell you, only the spiritually blind say that. I tell you today that only the dead in spirit say that, because those who are alive in Christ can see what a prophecy is and see the movement of the Holy Spirit in this to reveal himself for those who will answer the call. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And this psalm was written almost 1,000 years before crucifixion was ever a thing, before the Romans began to persecute, before the crucifixion became something that was done to shame people, put them to death in shame. Already we're getting a picture, and it's as if we're standing right there and we're seeing the Christ on the cross hundreds of years before it takes place. How can you not see this? How can you not be moved when you see this? And how can you not know the pain that is shown to us in this? Why are you so far from helping me? How many of you have ever felt like God has abandoned you? That you feel like you're out there all alone? For me, that'd be like standing up here and trying to sing a solo. I wouldn't know what to say. I wouldn't be able to get it out. I would squeak. Now, I don't mind singing with a crowd, but put me on my own and it's just not going to happen. But when I'm walking out in the world, when I'm walking all alone, I'm never alone. And I don't need to forget that God is always with me, and I'm not telling you that the Messiah has said to us that he forgot that his Father wasn't there. That's not what's happening here. You are seeing the battle between the flesh and the spirit. You are seeing how human Christ really is. You are seeing an answer to those who say that Christ was never in the flesh, that he was all spirit, because God is not able to be in the presence of sin. So how can he take sin on himself? So Christ must have been an illusion, just a spirit to give us some idea of who he was. I'm telling you, Christ was real in the flesh, and he suffered in the flesh. And he had a battle with the flesh. And he had a battle with Satan. After he was baptized, you remember, he went off into the desert. And he stood the test that Satan threw at him three times. If he can face that, I know he can face the cross. And this is exactly what we are seeing. I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, I am not silent. And how many of us can forget the words that are found in Matthew when it says this: Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." He went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Do you see the relationship between the Son and the Father? It's the same relationship we should have through the Son with the Father. When we become so sorrowful in life and we feel all abandoned, we need to remember how to fall on our knees and even on our face in tears if we need to, and in prayer before God, and just be honest with him. "I feel like I'm all alone, but you are my strength. You've promised to be my strength, and you can't break your promise to me. I am your child, and I need you." And how many times, though, do we stand back and say, "God, where are you? I need help and I need it now." And we're not even closely resembling the respect toward our Father in heaven that we should have. And we just demand an answer because, "Well, I'm saved, doggone it. And you have to do this." What does God have to do more for us than he's already done through his Son? What more can God give than he's already given for us through his Son? Have we suffered more than God? No. And God has never asked a man to do more for him than he was willing to do for men. Yeah, he told Abraham, "Go and take your son and offer him to me." But before the knife ever made the fatal strike, he stopped him and said, "No. It's not time for a lamb." The lamb was yet to come. That lamb we call Christ Jesus. And when it was time for Christ to be hung on a cross, God stood back and watched. You ever wondered if anybody was watching you at your cruelest moment, at your ugliest moment? God has stood back and watched. Because it was for our sins that Jesus went to the cross. It was for our sins that Jesus cried out in pain. Not because of the piercing and not because of the wounds and the stripes and the crown of thorns, but because his Father had stood back and watched. And the flesh was at war with the spirit, because that's what flesh does. And this shows us how real Jesus is to us. Because what would his sacrifice be if it wasn't suffering? It'd be make-believe. But this is real. This is real. He fell on his face And he cried. And he prayed. And he surrendered. You see, this is where we sometimes get on the wrong bus. We get on the bus that tells us how to fall on our knees, and then we get off at the next stop and we remember to pray. But when we get off of that bus, how many of us get on the next bus that says the way to surrender? Because, see, this is what Christ did. Not my will. Your will be done. I would love to change a lot of things in my life. How about you? Amen? I would love to be able to find a way to tell God he doesn't have to give his son for me. God, you can do this. You can make it better. No, God knows the best way. God knows the perfect way. And he knows those who are going to see these words that he's given us and see the passion that he has for us, how far he will go for us, and what he's willing to endure for us. He's willing to endure his son on the cross. My friends, I don't ever feel worthy of that. But I am thankful for that. Because there's no other place I can find this kind of passion and this kind of love for me except in Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins. My God, why have thou forsaken me? Consider this. Paul writes in Corinthians, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ didn't even know sin until he took it all on the cross. The deepest, darkest, and ugliest sin that is in this world is in the person of Christ, so it can be forgiven. He became sin. I don't know if we can fully understand what that means, but he took every sin in the world and he wrapped it around himself like a cloak, and he said, now, Father, I am the sacrifice that brings forgiveness of sins. No more goats, no more sheep, no more rams, no more doves, no more anything. My blood will suffice for the forgiveness of sins. There's nothing else that can be given, because he took on all of it. He took it all. And he took it all because he loves us. And then the world stands around and mocks him and ridicules him. And we see that in the psalm, how he points out that all of those who were standing there, they said he trusted in the Lord. Let him save him. And at the foot of the cross, we find those very same words in Matthew 27. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will save him. If he comes down from the cross right now, I'll believe it. But they can't believe an empty tomb. You see the ridicule and the mockery? It's only a show. They despised him. He wasn't one of them. He came to people like us who were afflicted and burdened because we were sheep, weary and scattered without a shepherd. And when they nailed him on the cross, they nailed him outside the walls of Jerusalem, that holy city of God, because now they said to God, you don't belong in here with us. There you go. We're going to cast you out into the world. But he came for the world. He came for the world. He didn't need to be crucified in the city and encompassed by those walls. He needed to be out for the whole world to see, because God so loved the world that he gave his son. The world that he gave his son. The congregation of the wicked, they have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And for my clothing, they cast lots. And we see this just happening right before our eyes in the psalm. And then in real life through the Gospels. Can you see Christ suffering for you? Can you see where hundreds of years before it ever happened, God said to us, I'm giving you something to see. Look. People say, oh, I want to know. I want to talk about prophecy. We'll see this prophecy of Christ and find the Christ and your salvation in him, and let the rest of the stuff take care of itself. You find your peace with God in Jesus Christ. You find hope and peace and life in Jesus Christ, because he's given you that to see. He's given you that to grab hold of and to have joy in. Jesus said that the one who is forgiven the most will love the one who forgives him the most. And we have a lot to love God for, because we have been forgiven a great debt. A great debt that could only be paid in blood. And only through the blood of Jesus Christ. They pierced my hands and my feet. And for my clothing, they cast lots. But you, O Lord, don't be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. What's really amazing about this psalm, in the first verses that we have read, right through 21, we see nothing but the suffering Christ. But something else is about to happen. If you have your scripture open, take a look at verse 21. And if you have the translation, I'm using a New King James, and it doesn't matter if it's King James or New King James, but there should be something that happens in this verse that they didn't begin printing until more recently, in the last 40 years or so. You know how sentences always run on when I'm writing them? Well, they printed them that way sometimes too. But there needs to be a break. In verse 21, he says, save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. And then there's a pause. And so there should be an interspace. There should be an empty line. And then you should see these words, you have answered me. You see the suffering Messiah as he's crying out through the pen of David. God is giving us the pain to see. He already knows it. He wants us to see it when it is here. And then he wants us to see something else. There's an answer for all that has taken place. But that answer I'll share with you next week. You have answered me. God has answered me in my time of need. God has answered me in times of prayer. God has done some wonderful things for me. I wonder how wonderful he has been to you. And if you have thanked him for it, if you have praised him for it, have you celebrated Jesus for his love? Because he told us right here what it would look like. The empty tomb seals it for me. The call of the Spirit seals it for me. And the presence of God with me seals it for me. I'll tell you this, I don't know and understand everything about God. I haven't met anyone who has. But I do know and understand this about God. If you turn to Him for forgiveness of sins, He will not turn you away. This is for you. This is for all of us who will see it and who will come. Have you found Christ as Savior? Have you found forgiveness of sins? Don't wait. If you feel God calling you, you come today and you find that peace that He wants you to have. Find it while you have this time to have it. God is calling, and I'm pleading with you today. Listen to Him. See what He has shown you and listen to what He's telling you, and come and become a child of Christ while there's time. Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your blessings again. Lord, that You have loved us so much. Even after You know who we are, You still love us every day. You walk with us every day, and You strengthen us when we become weak. You're ever ready to forgive us when we fail You, and You have never abandoned us, as we appear to do with You at times. Father, Your love is true and greater than we can understand, and I thank You that it is never ending and always there and always will be. And I pray, Father, to Your glory, if there is one here who does not know the peace and the joy of salvation in You, help them today, speak to them today, and strengthen them to come today. And it's to Your glory I ask it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you come while it's time?